Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Wasn't that beautiful?
You're so welcome.
I told her she could say whatever she wanted about me, and she's like, okay, here we go. So thank you for that. So I have been the number of days my wife and I have been married is actually pretty close. So that's about 19 years. So Sammy and I have been married 19 years. We have 6 children. I think only one of them has decided that I'm important enough for him. Thank you. I work for a company called Multivac. Which is German-based. It got me back to my mission area, or at least in my mission country. So I get to speak my mission language pretty much every day at work, so that's pretty cool. I was actually called to the Dusseldorf mission, which sounds kind of like something made up from a crappy Hogwarts knockoff. So, and then it got closed. I went in the MTC, and the first words out of my companion's mouth in the MTC was, "What mission do you want to go to?" And I was like, kind of already decided, bud. And he's like, "No, your mission got closed." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, everybody who got called to Dusseldorf is not going to Dusseldorf." And all of us went, "Excuse us, what?" So my mission call got changed about 2 days into my mission. And they said, "Well, we'll figure it out when you get to the country." So I got off a plane and went, "Okay, where am I going on my mission?" In Germany, and my mission president said, "We'll figure that out after dinner." And so after dinner, we all went, "Okay, well, where are we going?" Because that was a big elephant in the room. And then all of a sudden, it turned out to, "We'll figure that out in the morning." And then in the morning, my companion came and picked me up, and I was like, "Where are we going to?" And he goes, "We'll find out when we get to the train station." And apparently, they had that all worked out so that nobody freaked out of where they were going. So until my train started going west from Dusseldorf, did I find out that I was actually going to the southern mission that encompassed the west region of the Dusseldorf mission. So that's how I found out that I was actually going to Frankfurt. The other half went, my companion from the MTC, he went north, started going towards Hamburg, and so that's where he ended up serving his mission, was in the Hamburg mission. So anyways, that's probably too much of a story about nothing that you really care about. So why are we here today? What class is this? Whew, I prepped the right one. That's a good thing, right? Maybe? Okay, so when I say we can do hard things, what do you guys think of? What's the hardest thing that you guys can think of?
Being perfect.
Being perfect. Whose goal is it to be perfect in here? Oh, it's going to be a long, hard road. What other goals do we have in here? Anybody else have a life goal of what they want to do? Okay. Endure to the end. I like it. Supreme Court. Sister, I love it. I love it. We may use you back and forth.
Beat you in tug of
war. You've already done that. Life complete. I mean, you kind of did it already. I at least fell on my butt last night.
With shoes, though.
This is true.
Mine is to fulfill my mission here on earth and to become the daughter that God wants me to be.
I love it. I love it.
Teaching and writing a book.
Perfect. Okay. Making money, right? The pursuit of just being happy. Right? My wife's pursuit of being happy is just to attend Disney World or Disneyland as much as she can. My job in life is to make my wife happy, so we try to attend Disney World and Disneyland as much as we can. So did anybody read the, see, she's like,
120 days, y'all.
Wow.
And then we go to Disneyland again. Wait, just so you can see her, just one more time. That's my lovely wife, Sammy.
Hi.
So, I love how David, my other son, snuck in and did not clap for his own mother. How dare you? There you go. All right, so just with her in your head, I'm going to skip in kind of what I was going to talk about. I'm going to skip to a point because it involves her. One of the things that she has done in my life is forced me to do hard things. At one point in our marriage, she said, "Hey, let's get friends who are healthy and active." And I was like, "Bleh." And then these healthy and active friends they were like, hey, you should come running. And I was like, no. And then this friend said, hey, well, I used to work for this company, and it's a company called Suunto, and they make watches and running gear and all this other stuff. And then he gifted me a watch, and it's a very nice watch. And he's like, yeah, do you like it? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. It's a great watch. And then he said, well, since you've accepted it, you have to come run. And I was like, oh, trickery. So my beautiful wife signed us up for a race, right? Who's ever run a race in here? Okay. Who said I'm an official walker?
I said not an official one.
Oh, I thought you said I'm an official walker. Me too, sister. Me too.
Congratulations.
All right, so who's done a race? Who's done a race? Okay. Giggles. Yeah, you know it's you. What kind of race was it? What was it?
Distance. What?
Distance.
Oh, it's about 1 yard 3 times.
Done. Okay. I've got 1 yard 3 times. Who can beat that?
Hey, I was in a championship race, 5K. I got a 22:02, and I was so close to getting 10th place, but I overheated at the sprint zone.
I overheat pretty much before they say start. So. But one of the things my wife did, right, you would assume, right, most people I'm going to call on probably have done like a 5K, right? Maybe a 10K? Any half marathoners?
I wish.
Right? It's a good goal to have, right?
My dad ran a marathon.
How much training did your dad have to do for this?
A lot.
Okay, when I say you can do hard things, this body, my wife signed us up for a thing called the Dopey Challenge. Now, the Dopey Challenge is not just a 5K. It's multiple races in a row. Okay, so you have to do one, and then the next day you do another, then the next day you do another, and then the next day you do another. It's 4 races in 4 days. You start with the 5K, right, and you get that done, and you're like, yeah, I got to see Disney before the lights came on. Awesome. And then you do the 10K, and you're like, 6 miles, not so bad. Meh. And then you do the half marathon. And that half marathon, you're like, I'm sweaty and I hurt. Why did I do this? And then the 4th day, after you're completely tired and you're like, ugh, you do a full marathon. This was mine and my wife's first race together. It was my like 4th or 5th race in my life. And it was her first 5K, 10K, half, and full marathon. And it was my first full marathon. When I say you have to mentally prepare for something in life, that's what I mean. Mentally, it was all about the mental preparation for doing that. And when I say all about mental, the physical was, her physical was great. And she actually started training for it. And I was like, I got this. This is easy. That was one of the things that I love about my wife is she forces me to do hard things by just saying, oh, we've paid for it. You don't have to go do it, but you have paid for it already, so you may want to. Do we have things in life where we pay for stuff that we're like, oh, I kind of got to force it to go? Have anybody ever done that? Who wanted to wake up this morning? Who didn't want to wake up this morning? All right. Thank you for at least being the honest ones in the room. Who struggled waking up this morning? Perfect. So why did you wake up? Why did you want to wake up this morning, or why did you wake up even if you didn't want to? Food. Ladies.
If you don't wake up, then you'll be dead.
I guess in the grand scheme of things, you are correct. Go ahead.
So you
can pack your things, right? Some of you guys are checking out, right? So you had stuff you had to get done before you left. To see your friends, right? Because some of them are leaving. This is their chance to get to see them, and you may not see them until next year, right? So this is one of those things where sometimes we wake up and do hard things, and we do things that we may not want to do, but we're going to do them because, hey, at the end of the day, it's going to give us enjoyment and comfort. One of the things I want to talk about, too, is you get to choose your hard. Who can tell me what that means? Go ahead.
Reminds me of my quote I really love from the General Conference talk, where he talks about how you can how you can choose your trials. And like, as an example, say you could either choose to buckle down and get like a hard, like studying for a hard test done and miss out on, say, a party, and that's the trial you choose. Or you can choose not to and choose the trial of failing the test.
Does everybody understand? Let that sink in just for a little bit. You can choose your own heart in life. How many, and I'm going to say this as the biggest guy in the room, right? Yep, I'm the biggest guy in the room. How many fat old people do you see? Do you see a ton of them past, let's say, 70? Do you know the reason why? Congenital heart failure, right? It's hard to be big. So sometimes it's easier not to wake up and go running, right? As big of a guy as I am, this is a body by Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola, and I love eating, and I love sugar, and I love that. But I can still run a half marathon every Saturday, wake up and do a long run. Most of the time per day, I'm about 2 to 3 miles when I'm traveling. When I'm at home, I love to sleep in next to my wife, so I don't go running. She wakes up and then goes running, and then I wake up and get ready for the day. But choosing hard things, right? Choosing hard things now means later reaping the benefits. If you don't choose hard things now and confront those things face on, later in life it's going to be rough. Okay, I'm going to bounce a little bit like most of my classes. Who can tell me the difference between a buffalo and a cow? Okay, I got one for the Supreme Court. What do you got?
So buffalo are primarily native to the American plains, while cows are native primarily in Indonesia and other South Asian countries. In addition, buffaloes have hairier hides than cows, where cows have leather hides. And buffalo are generally bigger. They have horns, where only bull cows have horns. And
I love homeschool, because when I talk about this stuff at work and I'm like, what's the difference between cows and buffaloes? They're like, one's got a big old hump, and then it always devolves into, well, Brahma bulls have humps, and this is, so it all comes down to everybody usually in a business world goes, oh, but I love homeschools, because homeschools are like, okay, well, here's a DNA structure, and I love it. One day I hope to see you on the Supreme Court. I love it. One of the other parts of buffalo versus cows, which ones do you think are a little bit more aggressive? It kind of depends on the season and the time of day. So here's one of the things I want you guys to go away with and learn, right? And I want you guys to be or think like a buffalo. Have you guys, who's ever, so in my little bio, I said I raised meat sacks, okay? In my house growing up, meat sacks were cattle or like sheep. So meat sacks, I was raised on a cow. I was raised in the ghetto during the week. And then on the weekends, I was raised on a cattle farm. So baling hay, digging ditches, slaughtering cows, that's what we did, milking cows. That was our life. So cows, we had about 150, 180 acres that we used to run cows on. And these cows would run back and forth. Who has cows or who has had cows or have seen cows? Right? I'm so glad some people are listening and raise their hand. So who's raised cattle? Okay, what happens when there's a big storm coming? What happens to them? Do you guys know? What? Okay, this is an important part. Cows will seek shelter. Did you guys know that? So if you see cows all walking in one direction, and they're going this way, where's the storm coming from? This way. Which way is the storm moving? This way. If you see buffalo on a plane, and you see buffalo doing the exact same thing. So it's instinctual for them to move when a storm's coming. Now, I've set this up, right? Which way do buffalo go?
Towards the storm.
Why? Who just said that? You stole my thunder. No, I'm just kidding. Why? Why would they go into the storm?
For the wind in the face.
Think about this. Did you just hear what he said?
I guess that makes sense.
He's going into the storm to get through the storm faster. So when we're looking at doing hard things and we're like, oh, I don't want to do this, and I start putting things off, you have a storm coming. Has anybody ever been faced with a trial or an issue or something that you're like, it's coming, and I know it's coming. Oh, but I don't want to necessarily do it. You have?
Dishes.
I need you to talk to my older son, Amos, right? Because he refuses to do dishes. And I'm like, bro, time is, or a testament as old as time, they're not going to do themselves. You're going to have to do dishes. And he's like, but I don't want to. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. You know what ends up happening to my house? What did he do? David Clegg earns more money than probably Amos does because Amos is like, I don't want to do dishes. Who will do them? And then the bidding war starts, right? And which brother will do his dishes for lower money? Hold on 1 second. So as the buffalo see the storm or feel the storm coming, cows will run away from it. Buffalo run towards it. What happens with a cow with a big storm? Anybody? Go ahead.
They spend all this energy running away from the storm, and then when the storm finally catches up to them, they're probably all tired from walking away from the storm and then have to deal with the storm anyway.
They're exhausted. So as a cattle farmer, that was one of the things of why you don't necessarily open graze your cattle on a very large piece of land. So when we had a couple of friends who had grazed their cattle out in Nevada, and out in Nevada, the storms would come out and it would push cows up into the mountains. And if the mountains were packed with snow, or if it was a really bad storm and they got snow, you, as a farmer, as a cattle rancher, you were then digging your cows out and trying to find individual ones because the herd kept moving and the slower ones, the weaker ones, the older ones started to lose their strength and they started getting caught up in the storm. Bison, on the other hand, will go straight into that storm, right? They're like, oh, storm's coming. Oh, I see the storm. Let's go. And they run into the storm head on, straight first. The strong ones are right at the front. They buffer. The weak ones get right behind them. And they kind of form this little pocket. And then they move as an entire clan. Do you guys have a clan that you guys can run with? Right? I always tell my youth group, and I pull it off, my hands are swollen, this little ring right here. This little ring, when my boys become, actually we talked about it the other day, when my boys get home from their missions, they will get another ring just like this. There's about 12 of these things in advance. It's my family crest, right? It means qui potes, qui carpe, qui capiat, which means let he who can take, take. That's my family motto. So that's my clan. Those are the people that I can rely on. Those are my bison and my buffalo who get in front of me to break the storm up. So as that storm's passing over, right, the buffalo are good. And the buffalo are like, oh, yep, we got this, because they've got the energy to fight the storm. Cows, on the other hand, oh, no, a storm's coming. Let's run. And they run, and they get tired.
Bless you.
Bless you. Go ahead. I mean, having raised cattle, I get it, but sheep are worse.
That is very true.
Then it hits your big broadside, though. I'd rather take a hit here than take a hit here. There's a lot more mass. There you go, there you go. It's all nuance at this point, though. Okay, one of the other things, though, is knowing what a storm looks like, right? And having a destination. Who has a destination for their end life? I know there's a Supreme Court justice, right? Love it. What do you have to do to become a Supreme Court justice?
I have to graduate high school, get into law school, graduate school first, then get into law school, then make a name for myself, cozy up to some president, and then...
I'm going to ask as a group, would it be easier to mark out a path of where you want to be, or is it easier to say, hey, my next step is this, and I'll figure out the end goal later? Why is that?
Because you're procrastinating.
Procrastination does do a little bit of stuff, right? There's a quote that I saw and I read that I was like, oh, I gotta tell this one. If you rely on finding time to do something, it will never be done. If you want to find time, you must make it. So this is from Josh Kaufman. What does that mean? Let me read it one more time then. If you rely on finding time to do something, it will never be done. If you want to find time, you must make time.
I think it means that if you kind of just let life happen to you, it's not really going to go the way you're going to want it to. It's not really going to, it's not going to fall into place. You can't be acted upon. You have to be the one acting. You have to make things happen and to put in the work for what you're wanting.
Okay, did everybody understand that? You have to put in the work for something you're wanting. So when you're looking at doing something, you're like, oh, I don't want to go running today. But I know if I've got to run 26.2 miles, I got to put in the work, right? Most people cannot run couch to marathon and be okay, right? From past experiences, maybe like, oh, I can do couch to 5K, easy. I walk, that's fine. But couch to marathon's a different beast. Has anybody ever walked for 7 hours? How tired were you? Right, and I'm not talking like Disneyland walk where you walk like to the next ride and then wait. I'm talking like 16-minute pace, 7 hours. Just so you guys understand, that's the pace you have to make at the Disney World Marathon to not get swept up by the balloon ladies. These are ladies with red balloons that follow behind at a 16-minute pace, and they pick you up, and they kick you off the course, right? So there's a little bit of pressure to stay in front of the red balloons at Disneyland. So that's one of the things, though, is making time for your hard things. If you have a navigation point, can anybody tell me a goal that they want to have? Okay, I had somebody, blue shirt. He said, I want to become rich. That's kind of a vague ethos out there goal, right? Does anybody have
a job that I enjoy?
Perfect. Does anybody have a goal out there where you know the goal but you may not know the steps? What do you got? Yeah.
I want to be able to publish a book and have a job that I like and also gets me money to work my family, but I don't know how to do that.
Perfect. No, perfect. So here's the thing. We're going to talk about a gentleman named Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell. Anybody know that name?
No.
Anybody? Okay, who is this man?
Outliers?
No, I don't know if he did. So Malcolm Gladwell is also a motivational speaker, if you kind of look up some of his stuff. But he is, I believe, from the Mastery series is what his books that he's written. But it's about becoming a master of your craft. Okay, anybody understand what 10,000 means? Okay. So here's where you start, right? You want to write a book. Are you writing right now?
Yeah.
How often do you spend writing?
Not enough time.
Oh, no. So now what happens?
Doesn't get done.
Or it will take you longer. So Malcolm Gladwell talks about 10,000 hours. If you do anything in your life for 10,000 hours, you will be a master of that thing, right? That's about 45 minutes a day for a fee, or for I think 1 year, or like 1 year is about, I think it's like 32 or 33 minutes a day or something for a year. Who has 10,000 hours, right? It's not that bad to become a master at something. So 10,000 is the key number. So if you're like, I have a goal, I'm going to become a writer, write that down and put that in front of your face, okay? Because if you wake up every single day and see something, it's more likely to happen. Who's ever seen vision boards or anything else like that? Okay, what's the premise of a vision board? Anybody, go. Let's hear it.
It's, you put stuff up that you would like to help us with.
Perfect. What does she have on her vision board?
Like pictures of places she wants to go, either with my dad or as a family, or she'll write down books she wants to read.
Who else has already done this? Okay, a couple. Okay, perfect. You guys want me to blend what? Not psychocurrent, but psychosomatic current culture, right? Of the, if you manifest it, it will become what it is, right? Have you guys ever heard this stuff and you're like, okay, I kind of want to believe in it, but it's kind of weird, but okay, like I'm kind of into it, I get it. Who's all heard that stuff? Who believes it works?
Me.
Okay, I'm about to blow your mind then. So, who's ever fasted in this room? Fasted. Taking some time without food or without water or even saying, you know what, I'm going to fast from this thing that I really love to do and I'm going to use that as a fast. What happens when you fast, let's say, 20 hours in from not eating food? What happens? What are you thinking about?
Food.
What happens if you're fasting for a specific reason, though? What are you thinking about when you have that little hunger pain? You're thinking about what?
What you're fasting for.
Perfect. Okay. Now, this is where we get into a little bit of science. Go ahead. Does it pertain to science and thought?
Yes.
Okay, go.
So, at least for me, there's a point at which, when I'm hungry and haven't eaten, my body just kind of gives up on giving me the hunger feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And just assumes that there is no food to eat. So,
perfect.
Like, we don't have to. We shouldn't keep screaming about
food. Your body just totally gives up. And you're like, ugh. I'm not saying do hard things by just giving up and going, ugh, and laying down. But what I am saying is there is a scientific portion of it. If you don't believe me, look it up, Google it, do some research on your own. I'd love to hear your feedback on it. Do you guys know that energy has mass? Do you guys understand what that means? So if energy has mass, okay, the more mass something has, what happens to it? The more energy it has and the more weight, right? So if something has enough weight, what happens? Let's go on to a planetary scale. Why does the moon not move? The moon is stuck by what?
Gravity.
From what? The Earth. Why does the Earth revolve around the sun? Because of gravity. Why? Because the Earth is? Earth is smaller than the sun, so it's stuck inside the gravity. So, scientists have actually been able to recreate that electricity has mass. And if electricity has mass, therefore it carries a property called gravity. So, go ahead.
The more you think about something, the heavier that energy will get, and therefore it will start attracting stuff to it.
Have you guys ever had a ward fast? Why?
Because there was this family that was stuck in Mexico and they couldn't get back to the U.S. in our ward.
Okay, I'm going to roll the dice on this one. What happened?
After a couple months, the U.S. finally gave them a visa.
Okay. This is when I was so glad you didn't say, well, they got killed by the cartel. I went to a dark place. So that's the part of fasting. So I'm a why person. When I have a commandment, I'm like, well, why? I'm still going to keep going, right? Let's keep following the things that I think are right and I believe are right. But ultimately, I'm like, well, why would God say fast? This is for me. Gospel according to Paul, I may get it like blocked out. But gospel according to Paul, I use the science behind fasting. When you want something in your life and you're fasting, you're removing something that you have to have on a daily or a weekly or a monthly basis that you have to have. And you're like, ooh, I really, really want that. So you're constantly being reminded, oh, I'm hungry. I have that hunger pain. Oh, wait. I'm fasting because I have a test coming up and I want to be able to remember things. Or I'm fasting because I want to be able to do X, Y, or Z. Or the ward is fasting because a family's stuck in Mexico and we're praying and we're wanting to have them or have help for it. All of those individual things are creating mass and creating consciousness coming back into it. And so with that creation of mass, it then creates that volume of pull to make things happen. A lot of people call that manifesting. Some people call that the power of thought. There's a whole book on it called The Secret, right? Of if you can see it, if you can envision it, it happens. For me personally, I think it's come one of those things of it makes your body line up with the hard thing that you want to do. So, if you're going, I'm going to fast, and you're like, okay, what are you fasting for? I don't know. How well does that work out?
Not very well.
What's the result?
You're hungry.
Starvation. That's it, right? Do I look like a guy who likes to starve?
No.
So, that is one of those things of fasting with a purpose. is the reason we fast. If you're just acting in life without a purpose, what happens? It's just starvation, right? If you don't have a goal that you're progressing and moving towards, what's most likely going to happen in your life? I'm going to go from this one because I don't want any personal ones. You're probably going to wake up. You're probably going to go to work. You're going to do your job. You're going to come home. You're probably going to cook dinner, eat dinner, watch a little TV, and go to bed. And then the next day, what's going to happen? You're going to wake up. What's that definition of?
Insanity.
Insanity. Right? If you're not progressively moving towards a goal, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to get home. I'm going to go to work. And on the way home from work, I'm going to do one thing more. Right? Are you going to become a Supreme Court justice overnight? No, you've got to get through. You got to get through school, and then you've got to get through more school, and then you've got to get through more school, and then probably a little bit more school, and then an internship, and then more school. Is school important in your life?
Yes.
Do you like school?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right? Sometimes. But that's where the hard thing comes in at. So that's why I say, and watch, this is an amazing thing. You guys ready? This is a mind control technique. You guys ready? Perfect. You ready? Ready? Don't think about an elephant. Did anyone have an elephant pop up in their mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does thinking of you count?
Yes. Yes. I love that. Thank you.
Could you repeat?
I said, don't think about an elephant.
What if I thought of thinking an elephant?
There's still an elephant there, isn't there?
Maybe.
Horrible. What color was your guys' elephant?
I wasn't thinking of an elephant. It was the tiger.
There you go.
I know the...
You knew it, huh? You saw it coming. You read the class heading. A bat giraffe? Oh, a fat giraffe? Hey, some elephants are just gray fat giraffes with shorter necks. But that's the part, though, is what you think in life is what's going to end up happening. So we play a game in our family, and... this little thing is called JB Hunt, right? Anybody know what a JB Hunt is? Logan's like, yes, no one knows it. But watch, I'm going to wreck your entire lives. Okay, we play this game in the car. As we're driving back and forth. What's passing you on the road?
Cars.
Other cars, other semi-trucks. There's a company out there called JB Hunt. And they have trucks and trailers that say JB Hunt on the side of them. A JB Hunt car is worth how many points? 100 points. And so as we're driving, that's the game we play. And you yell, JB Hunt, JB Hunt, JB Hunt. And you got to get it three times, and then it's yours. Then you get 100 points. It is the most ridiculous game in the world, but I guarantee at some point in your drive, you're going to yell, JB Hunt, JB Hunt, JB Hunt.
I have a more ridiculous game.
Hold on 1 second.
Like, how big is it? Huge on the side, like an Amazon?
Sometimes it's like the logo on the side of the door of the truck. And then sometimes it's the entire panel, like the entire trailer.
Is it like JB or are there
just... It says J.B. Dot Hunt, and you're going to see him now. What? Some of them can be on the back of the tire flaps. What else? So why do you guys think you'll now see it?
Because
what?
Because you're aware of it.
You're aware of it. You're just aware of your surroundings. Because your thought process, right, is now subconsciously looking for JB Hunt trucks, you're going to see more JB Hunt trucks. Okay? You've done this with what?
Jeeps.
Jeeps, right? When you get an obsession, how often do you see this obsession?
A lot.
Right? Now, I'm just saying, there is a lot of people who have, like, weird things in their life. And I say weird, quirky things. Right? I have a person that I work with cannot stand bare feet. Right, they're like, So when I get an email that says, hey, it's completely casual, I have one pair of dress shoes, I've got like four pairs of flip-flops-ish, and then I've got a pair of running shoes, or two pairs of running shoes. That's it. That's my entire shoe collection. So flip-flops are a thing. If I'm not in dress shoes or running shoes, it's going to be flip-flops. So when I get told, oh, it's business casual. The business part is from this up. Casual is from there down. But I have a coworker, legitimately, anytime I have flip-flops on or anytime he sees flip-flops coming in, he's like, because he instinctually looks at people's feet because that's what his focus is on. Right? Does anybody, and I'm not going to ask for raising of hands in this one, does anybody ever have a moment where you're like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Ugh, my nose is a little bit funky. My chin is weird. When did I get these ears? Oh my gosh. Right? When all you men in here get to a certain point, you're going to go like this and go, how did I get hair? What is happening to my old man? Anyways, not that I've ever done this, ever. But what happens when all of a sudden you look at it and you're like, his muscles are bigger than mine? Or you look at it and go, her nose is smaller than mine. I wish I had a better nose. Ugh. Oh, look at that person's nose. Their nose is amazing. And then you look at another person, their nose is amazing. Ah! And then there's the elephant in the room that he's like, my nose is amazing. But how often do you guys look at yourselves, look in the mirror, look at other things and go, oh, I wish I had that. Or I wish this was better about myself. Or I wish this was that. Is there a difference behind flipping it and looking at the positive things in your life? And looking at it and going, I've got a nose. That's a pretty good nose. It does what noses should do. And it's right where a nose should be. Because I guarantee there's someone out there in the world who's like, oh man, I wish I had a nose. Now I say that kind of giggle tongue in cheek, right? But there is definite power in positive thinking. And so when we look at how to do hard things and how to run hard things, I want you to do, and this is one of those things, I felt silly the first time I ever did it. Before you go do a hard thing, take a little moment by yourself. Stand in front of the mirror, or if you're having a bad day, stand in front of the mirror and smile. Not just like goofy, like, oh. It's amazing what happens when you smile. This was a piece of advice that my mom gave me on my mission. So I was the youngest of four brothers. And all of them learned German in school, right? Guess where they went to their missions?
Germany.
Not Germany, right? So being the youngest, so one went to Budapest, Hungary, one went to Moscow, Russia, and then one went to Amsterdam, Netherlands. They all took German. Guess what I took in high school? I was like, I ain't taking German because it's useless and I'm never going to use it. So I took Spanish because I was like, chances are, right? And then I get called to my mission of Germany. And I was like, oh, bad decision. But at least I speak a little bit of Spanish. So my mom, having four babies, giggles, what do you got?
What I was going to say about the mirror thing was, whenever my sister's crying, I put up to the mirror, she looks into it, I stop crying, and has to smile because she's so mad at herself. She sees the baby crying into the mirror.
Right? How old is she?
She's two.
If a two-year-old gets it, so should you. Right? So this was one of the things. So my mom said, you're going to be like a two-year-old. You're going to get over there, and you're not going to have any idea of what's happening. Guess who was right?
Your mom.
My mom. I went to Germany with zero language experience other than the MTC. And I get over there, and they just start speaking at me. And I'm like, what is happening? And my brain felt like it was going to explode. Any of you who guys have that moment to go on a mission, please go. It's amazing because it's an experience that you'll never have another chance to get.
I'm going at the end of this month.
Woo! Where are you going to? Arizona. Perfect. English or Spanish?
I'm going English, but there's a chance I can learn like four different languages.
You'll probably end up learning Spanish by the end of your 2 year or end of your 18. So that's one of those moments, though, of I got there and my mom's advice was, you're not going to understand anything, but you've got a good smile. Smile. And so I spent the first probably 4.5 months of my mission doing this move. Yeah. Yeah. And I was so enthusiastic and be like, yeah, 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 ich verstehe, yeah, yeah. And then my companion was like, bro, she's telling you that her kid died, and she's wondering what happens after death. And I was like, oh. At the end of the conversation, the lady's in tears, and she's hugging me, and she's like, thank you for being somebody positive in my life. So that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. That what she needed in her life was a smile. So that's the part when in your life, when you're like, I'm at my point of bleh, you can do amazing things with a smile. And if there's not somebody there in your life who to smile at you, smile at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Before any interview, right? This is one of the things that I always tell my kids. I interview really, really well. And I've jumped jobs 5 times in my life, in my 20-year career of working as an adult. Why have I changed jobs 5 times? And no, it's not because I lost my job. Logan, why? The money, right? The money and the experience. If I could learn something more, this last switch was not necessary for the money, but it was to learn something. I was like, oh, I kind of see robotics and AI happening. I should probably get a job in the robotics and AI field. So guess what we're doing now? We're all robotics and AI. But before that interview, guess what I would do? I'm going to share this with you. It's going to look so stupid and so silly. I don't even think if my children even know that I do this. But when I'm in a hotel ready to go into an interview, or even at home before I go into an interview, I lock the door because I don't want to have my wife walk in and be like, what are you doing? But I'm going to share this with you guys. It's called the Superman pose. Chem, stand up.
Me?
Yes. How does Superman pose? Oh, come on. Oh, no, no. That's how he flies. Have you ever seen a superhero do this move? No, go ahead, go ahead. No one's take. I appreciate it. I love how no one took their phone out to take a picture of that. That was like a golden opportunity. No, but that's one of the things, though, is when I need a pick-me-up and a boost, I will stand like that. Why is this? Supreme Court right here. Why is it? It's not because I look cool, because I guarantee you, that's why I lock the door.
So I actually do psychology, and I love studying body language.
Perfect.
But, and from what I've learned from that, it's because your body language, when you do that, it opens yourself up. You're not closing in and closing yourself up. You're opening yourself up, which brings that confidence and brings a relaxed and open feeling.
Hold on, we'll get back to you. 100%. This opens up. Feet about shoulder width apart. Gives you a feeling of stability. If I'm doing this move, because it looks cool, you're only balancing on one foot, so you don't feel as stable. But if you're trying to calm your nerves down, sit back in your chair, put your arms out. And what it does is it opens up and pulls open up your diaphragm. It pulls open your chest. You can breathe easier. You get more oxygen. It actually increases your blood circulation so you can think better. You can think faster. But this power pose, right, it puffs up. And then all of a sudden you're looking in the mirror and you can't help but be like, I'm ridiculous. And you start smiling. And now your confidence starts building. And then there was a show way back when on a comedy show that was, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. And that was this little girl's mantra. Does anybody have a mantra that they say to themselves in the morning? That's my mantra for running a marathon. I will not lie to you. When I run and I'm about mile 8 or 9, I'm like, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. My wife counts. My wife counts from 1 to 100 and 100 to 1. And that she's like 100 more steps. That's all I need, 100 more steps. And she takes 100 more steps. And then she gets in and she's like 10 more steps. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then she goes back up 100 more steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so she goes up and down. And that's how she does her marathon. Me repeating over and over, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. But in the morning, I repeat out a mantra. And I always picture that little girl standing in front of the mirror. And she's just smiling. And she's like, I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. And she's smiling at herself. And she's just focusing eye to eye. What happens when someone, okay, go ahead.
You'll feel better when you get going.
There is the beauty, or what is it? It's called the You're Beautiful Project. And it was pictures of people taken. They would walk up and say, hey, can I take a picture of you? And they would snap a photo. And then they would say, man, you are beautiful. And then they would snap a photo right after they got told that. What's the difference?
One of them's happier.
One of them actually has that moment of, oh my gosh, I'm beautiful. Someone thinks I'm beautiful. It doesn't matter if someone else says it or if you tell yourself that. It is the exact same psychological thing in your head. So when you have negative self-speak and you're being like, oh, here it is, it's still there. Oh, did I grow another nostril? All of those things can be negative self-speak. So if you focus on your positive self-speak, yep, still there, still can breathe, I'm winning the day. That's when you're going to start building yourself up. Now, I say these things because of the hard things in life. The hard things, again, you get to choose your hard things. Is it hard to wake up and go running in the morning? Yeah. Is it hard to wake up and go to a job? Yeah. Is it hard to do your schooling?
Yeah.
Okay. The ramifications of not doing it.
You lose your job.
I've got a niece who switches jobs about every 4 weeks. She interviews amazingly, but her work ethic is terrible.
You don't learn.
She's been taught to talk really fast and really quick and tell people what they think they need to hear. And then when it comes to actually applying what they want her to do, she fails. So in school, guess what happens? She would fail out a bunch of classes. And then instead of doing summer school, my sister, my brother-in-law would pull her out of school and then put her in another school. And then ta-da, she would just start over again. So one of the reasons we homeschool. Hard things, those things happen. You choose your own hard. I want you guys to understand that. Also, choosing a hard is not having a direction. If you don't have a direction in your life and you're not focusing on 10,000 hours, if you don't have 10,000 hours, you're going to have a hard, hard thing in life. And we do the things that we want to do. Has anybody paid attention on a video game for 6 hours before?
Oh, what?
No. There's a couple of boys in here. They're like, what about 2 hours?
Wait, what was the question?
Focused on a video game for a few hours. Right? Have you ever focused on a task you didn't want to do for a few hours? Where you're like, how happy were you with this? How much did you end up getting out of it? Probably not much, right? I have a boy who can tell me every nook and cranny of a video game, where all the glitches are at, where everything's at. I'm like, bro. And he's like, well, if you throw a bucket on this guy's head, and then you do this, and then jump on this, all of a sudden there's a chest that appears underneath that. I'm like, what? Bro, your math is not done for like 6 weeks. Like, get your math done. And he's like, no, but just a second. I'm like, bro, I'm not going to mention any names. Amos. Threw him under the bus. All right, so we're going to close up. Is there, again, you guys pick your hard, and hopefully you pick your easiest hard. Does that make sense? Go headlong into your storms. Don't avoid and don't wait and don't procrastinate through them. With that one, is there any other questions before I go? I don't care what the questions are about. I'll do my best to answer it.
Can you reread the quote about relying on finding a time to do something?
If you rely on finding a time to do something, it will never be done. If you want to find time, you must make time. That's by Josh Kaufman. Here's one of my rules to live by. Most or some of you will serve a mission in this room, right? On your mission, what's my one mission rule? Smile, right? There's also one, or actually two more I'm going to share with you. One, smile. Number two, or actually my other one, is going to be find your significant other a gift while you're on your mission. Why do I say this? Go ahead. Because every time in church when you hear someone start a story, how does it start? Well, on my mission, or one time on my mission, right? Typically, it's one of the most important things in your life. If you can merge that important part of your life with the actual most important part of your life, it's a beautiful thing. So if you're serving a mission and you're having those moments, everybody's like, well, I'm serving in Arizona or I'm serving in Tennessee. How can I do that? Well, one of the missionaries in my area in Tennessee moved into an area and they had an artist. And that artist did a painting of one of the temples that he was like, I'm going to be married in like the Logan temple. And so he had this artist painted him a Logan temple painting. And that is the gift that he's going to give to his wife when he gets married. Not your girlfriend, not your fiance, right? Or not your boyfriend, not your fiance, your spouse. Like wedding day gift. The reason being is the other ones can go away still, right? Just because you're engaged to somebody doesn't mean you're going to get married to them, right? It's leading that way. Chances are, but it's not 100% guarantee. Any other questions?
You like pineapple on pizza?
I think you have to have a sophisticated palate to enjoy pineapple on pizza.
My brother.
And the only way... No, hold on. A sophisticated palate also likes snails. So, with that being said, I myself am not a pineapple on pizza fan. Oh, wait.
It's kind of random, but what is the proper, like, LDS sanctioned way to say the name of Jesus Christ in
Arabic? Oh, Jesus Christus. Yeah. There you go. Jesus. Easy. Yes. I will give this to you. All right. With that, I'm going to leave you with one more piece of advice that I was given. And this piece of advice is actually two more pieces of advice, then we'll go because I know I'm already out of time. One piece of advice, invest early, invest often, right? You have to work in this world. You have to make money in this world. You may as well have your money making you money. If you have any questions on that, look up the internet of how do I make money on my money. Number two, if you're ever offered a seat on a rocket ship, don't ask if it's a window. Just get on and go. Right? If you have those good experiences in life or that job where you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm qualified enough or that opportunity to go do X, Y, or Z, go do it. Go have fun. You've got one shot at this life and you better make it good and make a journal entry.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.